The explosion tonight. Maybe it's because we started with a drumming gorilla, but it feels cool tonight, I reckon. And I was just struck by the freedom and how like I wouldn't want to be in a church where it wasn't okay for a gorilla to drum at the start of the service. How good is that, yeah? That we can just be so free and that we can have fun in church and we can do that and then we can just praise and worship God and just how good that is, yeah? It's awesome. I love it. I think it's just going to be a good night. It already has been so far, and I just believe God's going to speak some stuff, yeah. So I'm just going to pray, God, just thank you for tonight and for what you're doing, God, and just for expectant hearts, Lord. And I just pray that you really just speak into our hearts and our lives, God, and you really show us that we can live in your freedom, God, and that we don't have to be bound up by the things of our life or the circumstances around us, God, but that we can live in true freedom in you. And so, God, I pray that tonight you will just speak through your word, God, and not just me, God, but it would be you speaking and that you really would just touch all of our hearts and all of our lives. Amen. Awesome. Sweet. Last week, I'm going to get myself tangled here. Last week I talked about not forgetting your first love. And we remember like romantic comedy moment. And then like during the week we watched Notting Hill. And it was exactly the way that it was like in the way, you know, how I described it, and it was like how they realized that they love each other, and they drive crazy through the city to get to this thing, and everyone's seen it, you know. So we talked about falling in love with God and just keeping that first love, yeah. And what's really struck me about that is that it's not like a fling or like a summer romance or a crush or something like that, but it's for life. And the way the Bible describes our relationship with God is like a marriage. And we know that a marriage is this commitment for your lifetime, yeah? And so it's something, that love, that relationship is something that's been designed not only for this lifetime, but for eternity, amen? But I was thinking about that and thinking, well, pretty quickly that honeymoon is going to be over. The movie finishes, the credits roll, and then you've got to live your life together. And at the end of Notting Hill, they actually do this kind of tricky cut where they go like a little bit in the future and they're married and they're expecting a baby, and it kind of gives you this little hint that their life is still going really good, yeah? And so I want to talk a little bit tonight, I guess, about that next bit. And there's this passage that I was reading during the week, and it's in Galatians 6, if you want to flick there. And it says, in verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I want to talk about not growing weary, not giving up. Stuff happens, life gets hard, it gets complicated, and sometimes it's easy to feel like your passion for God or for what he spoke to you or that amazing night you had where you really felt God just really touch your life. That's easy to kind of lose that feeling. And so stuff seems to get lost somewhere along the way. And you get sick of trying to live this Christian life where you're doing good and you're trying to do what God's called you to do. And you get weary of it. Has anybody been in that situation in their life? But the Bible says, don't grow weary. Don't get weary because you will reap a harvest. There's a promise there that says, if you just don't give up, you will reap a harvest. There will be a reward. Are we there? So how do we carry on when it's not working out? How do we hold fast, hold strong, like keep on going when it doesn't feel like it's worth it? When it's just the hard, how do we stop ourselves from getting tired or burnt out so that we don't miss out on everything that God's got for us to do? Because if we give up, if we stop short, that then we miss out on the incredible promise that God has for us. And I'm guessing that none of us here are farmers. Is anybody a farmer? Brad? Yeah. Okay, so thanks. guys, for that very serious admission. Anyway, so basically none of us are farmers. Some people may have been. I know the Waylands Senior. Are they here tonight? Oh, they're usually here. They were. But anyway, so this idea of reaping a harvest might not make heaps of sense. But if we put it into today's kind of terminology, basically what it's saying is if we don't go weary, if we don't get tired, if we just keep doing good and we don't give up, then we will get the stuff that God has promised us. Yeah? We will get that harvest and whatever that is, like it's this reward that you will get. And it says, don't worry, in the proper time it's gonna come. You're gonna get that reward. So don't get weary. Don't miss out, yeah? Because a relationship with God is not like a sprint. It's more like a marathon. I was thinking about the Olympics and 100 meter sprint, that's like less than 10 seconds of like passion and glory, yeah? And sometimes I think that's what we think our relationship with God could be like. It's like, I'm going for 10 seconds of passion and glory right now. Bam. And that's like during praise and worship or something. Maybe you can go for a couple of minutes. And then you're like, I'm done. That's me. Thank you, God. Life well spent. Living for God. Right there in 10 seconds. But that's not what it's like. And it's actually more like a marathon race. And I don't know if you've watched a marathon. Probably not, because it's not that exciting. You watch a bit, you change the channel, you flick back, yeah, they're still going. Those guys look wrecked. And so this marathon, it doesn't look heaps of fun all the time. There doesn't always seem to be these huge glory moments or exciting moments all the time. But there is a reward, and there is a promise, and there is a harvest, yeah, at the end of the marathon. And so our life is like that. It's not a 10-second sprint, but it's this lifetime of running the race, of discipline and focus and determination and exciting stuff. Now, I'm not saying that there's not exciting moments at all, like the opposite, but we just need to get that to get to the start, everything that God has for you in your life, it isn't just about a feel-good moment. It's not just about that kind of falling in love with God moment where it's all amazing. But what counts is what happened after the credits. What counts is what happens on a Monday, not just the great praise and worship or the drumming gorilla on a Sunday night. What counts is a lifetime of relationship with God, not just a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Amen? So how do we do that? How do we make the distance and not get weary and not give up? I've just got a few thoughts on how we can do that. I know that, like, I'm 24 now. Ooh, who's 24? Anyone? A few people? Yeah, represent. People are just clearly lying to me today. These guys are like 16, 15, throwing their hands up. Oh, they're offended now because I said that. Clearly, so much older. Anyway, so what I'm kind of saying there is, I haven't finished the race, quite obviously. I would be very disappointed if I'm finished now. But I've been in church since I was about a week old. And I've been serving in church for a long time. And I'm not trying to say this to make myself sound awesome at all, so please don't get me wrong on that. But I guess I'm trying to say you can listen to some of these things, because I do know a little bit about what I'm talking about, if that makes sense. I remember the first time I played drums in church. I think I was 12 or 13, something like that. So I've been around for a while. I think I've been setting up chairs since I was about 7. So, yeah, anyway, I have a few thoughts from my experience as a young person who's been serving God for a while. Is that cool? Good. So the first thing I think we need to do is we need to understand seasons. We watched this this video in our leaders meeting the other day, and it was like this understanding Christianese. And it was like a spoof on YouTube, and you could buy the box set, and then you could understand what people mean when they say, like, I really felt the Spirit lead me, and that sort of thing, which just makes no sense at all. And I think sometimes that seasons maybe is one of those words. So I'm just going to break it down a little bit. When I say seasons, I'm not talking about, like, the physical seasons in a year. Everybody understands that? Like, understanding seasons is understanding that there are times in your life where it's different. So just like in a year, how there's summer and there's spring and there's autumn and there's winter, yeah, and the environment changes because of that. In our life, there's times where it's summer, where everything is amazing and just going awesome, and you love every single part of life. And then there's times where it's winter where you're just like, I hate this, unless you really like winter, but you get the point. And so you know what I mean by seasons, yeah? Because our lives and our walk with God aren't a sprint, but there are these different times. It's like a cycling road race. Yeah. Adrian got some cycling in this morning, so I'm going to get some in tonight. And has everybody ever watched like the Tour de France? A little bit of it. You know how there's like different stages in the race? So there's the, like, it goes on for ages, like weeks, and these guys ride like hundreds of kilometers every day. But there's bits, there's like, there is a sprinting part, but there's like a hill climbing part, and then there's like just big long stretches of road, and so there's days and days of riding, all these different starts, and like that's what our life's like a little bit. It's not like just a flat out sprint, it's like there's going to be a hill climb sometimes, where stuff is just tough and you've just got to stand up in the saddle and just push. And there's times where you'll just be coasting and it'll be great. And there's times where you'll just sprint for a finish line and you'll win stages. Like, do you know what I mean? You get the analogy there. And sometimes I think we can get caught in, and I'm guilty of this myself, you get caught in a situation where maybe it's that hill climb stage and all you can see is hill and hill and hill. And you can't see the top of it. And you're just like, that is all life is. But if we understand seasons, then we understand that there's a top to that hill and that there's other stuff going to happen, amen? And as you know, when you get to the top of a hill, there's only one way to go. And that's good fun. So I think we need to understand and start to try and see the big picture, not just what's directly in front of us, and start to see situations in your life, not just in terms of how hard it is right now or how tired you feel right now, but what maybe the bigger picture in terms of that is, amen? In Hebrews, Adrian read some of this morning, and so I'm going to do it again. In Hebrews 12, there's this great passage, and it says, I'm going to read a fair chunk, so maybe if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Hebrews 12 and you can read along. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, have you not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood? Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you at children? And it says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child. It says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children at all. Moreover, we all have parents who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Our parents disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I love that. It's not maybe, doesn't sound like the most encouraging verse, but God's kind of saying there's these seasons in your life where it's going to be tough and you're just going to feel like giving up. And it's going to be so hard that you just you can't see an end to that hill. And God says, don't worry when you're in those times. Don't get down. Don't give up hope. Don't grow weary, because it's in those times that I'm forming you, that I'm making you, I'm disciplining you. Like, I'm creating you, like, in my image and making you into the person that you need to be and that you're called to be. And he says, and when I've done that, then you'll have that harvest of righteousness and peace. And if we would let that happen, amen? If we don't understand that the race is a long one and that there are different parts to it, we'll waste ourselves early. I remember, like, athletics carnivals. Like, I'm not the best runner. And we used to do, like, the 200-meter sprint. And, you know, some people can sprint 200 meters, but I had to pace myself. And if I went out hard like everybody else, I'd get to about 150 and just be like, whoo-hoo. And then kind of just this gap would stretch and I'd be kind of running down with the guys in jeans at the end, like, who forgot it was an athletics carnival. And so I think sometimes we need to understand the seasons of our life and where we're up to, and not just kind of go out all guns blazing sprinting when we're not in a sprinting stage. Do you know what I mean? And maybe that's for some people tonight. Because we're not called to fade away and give up. We're not called to fail at the first hurdle or the last hurdle. We're called to be significant. We're called to do amazing things for God until the day that we die. We are called to run the race with perseverance and get all the way to the end. Amen? So the first thing is just understand those seasons in your life if you don't want to get weary, if you don't want to give up. The second thing is to know the promise. God doesn't just want you to keep going for no reason. Not just stay doing what he said because he said so. Now, as a qualifier to that, I really believe that there's times where God wants you to trust him, and so there'll be times when you need to do stuff that you don't really understand because he's trying to build trust and obedience in you. And don't miss out on that, and don't be like a spiritual infant where you can't accept that stuff, amen? But there's always a promise. There is always a purpose. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't understand it, there is always a purpose. And when we can really know that, then we can keep going even when it all seems hopeless. It's like if you were going to the Olympic Games or the Tour de France or whatever, and somebody says to you, I am going to guarantee a gold medal. If you are there, if you turn up, and if you make it to the end of the race, you'll win. Think about that. Like, who would not do that? Nobody. If someone came to you tomorrow and said, all right, the Olympics are coming up in a couple of years in London, we need a marathon runner. I know that you suck at running, but if you just get to the end of the race, it doesn't matter how long it takes you, if you just get to the end of the race, you will get a gold medal. We would all do that. You would do it. And what's amazing, I think, is that there are athletes who will devote their lives for the chance of that gold medal. I don't know if you've seen a marathon, but there are a lot more than three guys running. But only three guys are going to get a medal, and only one of them is going to get gold. So there are people on our planet, people like us, who are able to carry on and not give up and devote themselves facing the prospect of never winning. Never winning. But we find it so hard to devote ourselves when the reward is guaranteed. Isn't that crazy? Like, we've got this God that comes down and says, if you don't give up, you will receive a harvest. It's not you might receive a harvest, or if there's a bit of luck on the day and the people in front of you fall over, you might get there and win the gold. It says you will receive that harvest if you don't give up. So when you're in that time where it's that hard season and you're feeling weary, you're feeling tired, you've been going at serving God for years, and you're feeling like stuff's not happening the way you thought it should, You can know the promises that God's given to you, that you will see that come. Even when everything seems to be going wrong, you can know the promises of God. And I encourage you to meditate on that. So rather than like thinking all the time about how tough stuff is, which we all do, and I do, think about the promise that God's given you. And say, I know that that's for certain, that that's for sure, that that's a guarantee, that God has promised good to me. That's what that song said that we sang. Like God has said, you will receive a harvest if you just don't give up. Amen? And that's exactly what it says. We will receive a harvest if we do not give up. So I just encourage you just to know the promises of God. If he's spoken stuff into your life, then know it. And if you feel like he hasn't, then just read his word and let these promises soak into you, because the Bible is just full of promises to you. Amen? The Bible is just full of stuff where God just says, this and this, if you would not give up, then I will do this and this. And I've been reading through Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and it's just amazing how often God says, if you will seek me, I will give you everything. And then to see that happen, like to see Joshua go in and take the promised land, because he does the things that there's these passages where it says, like, just as Moses did, Joshua did everything that God told him to do, and because of that, Israel took the promised land. And it's just saying, like, if you would just be obedient to God, and if you would just do that, then he will give you that promise. And so it's like God is God. He doesn't make promises that he's not going to keep. And we can trust that. Amen? So know the promise. The third thing is don't try and do it alone. I think sometimes we think that God is kind of, at best, non-interested, or at worst, actively against us achieving our goals. Like there's times where you feel like God is actually deliberately making it harder for you because he is antagonistic or spiteful or has a twisted sense of humor and just wants to see you suffer. But that's not who God is. Amen? God actually wants you to make it. Maybe that's a revelation to some. Like, God actually wants you to make it to the end of the race. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to miss out. He doesn't want you to get tired. He is on your side. In Isaiah 40, there's this passage and it says, in verse 29, it says, he gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not be faint. It says, God is on your side with this. And it says, even like even a young, strong man will get tired and will fall. But no matter what the situation or the circumstance in your life is, if you would hope in God, if you would just hope and put your hope in God and your strength in God's strength, then he will renew that and he will make you soar. And that's incredible, because an eagle doesn't work hard. An eagle doesn't flap his wings. He just like jumps and soars around. And that's such an incredible thing. And so God does this thing to our lives when you let him, where he throws a huge call down. And you look at it and you think, that is massive. And I think sometimes we can get worried about that, because we try all that we can to live up to that huge call that God has thrown down on your life. And maybe it's something that maybe you haven't even told people what that is, I don't know. But you look at it and you think, there's just no way. Surely, God, you've given this to the wrong person. Surely you meant this for somebody else, because my capacity is just not big enough for that call that you've just thrown down onto my life. It is just so big. It's just way too much for me. And so we come at it with this attitude of like, oh, well, I don't know what to do, but I want to honor God. So I'm just going to try and do everything that I can to get to that promise and that call that I know he's given me. And it's just foolish. Because we try and do it in our own strength when God's saying, no, I'm with you. If you would just trust in me, then I will renew your strength. If you would seek me, then you will find me. There's no need to worry. Like, it's like you're beating yourself up for no reason. Like, there's no need to do that. And we can get so worried that we're not doing what God wants or we're not fulfilling his plan. And he's just like saying, but just, like, listen. It's like we go, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. And he goes, no, you can't. That's the point. Amen? He says, you're not even going to get close. So you need me. And you don't need to worry about that. You just need to rely on me. And I know that that's not always an easy thing to do, and we are always tempted to pick it back up ourselves and do it ourselves. Every day we're tempted to do that, but we don't need to do it. I know for me, like, there's always times where you just say, oh God, I don't know what's going on, but what if I just try this? What if I do this? What if I, and I was like, well, what if you do nothing and you let me sort it out? There's been sometimes, like, I'm just going to use, say, youth as an example. There's been some Friday nights that have been crazy. There has actually been some Friday nights where nobody came. And we're just like, all right, cool. And but for me, like, as a youth pastor, I could get really disheartened about that. Like, and if we go, like, to some big combined thing and it's our young people that broke something or destroyed something, or, by the way, just as a positive thing, on Friday night at New Empire, they were calling out, like, who's here from whatever youth ministry. City Life Youth was by far the loudest. I don't reckon that we had the most people there, but we were the loudest, and that's something to be proud of, I think. Anyway, just as an aside. But I guess for me now, in terms of what happens with ministry, I don't have to worry about that stuff. And I say, well, God, like, I can't bring people. I can't make that happen. I can't make it an amazing night or a hopeless night. Like, all I can do is give you my best and let you breathe on that and you do on that. And so I don't have to get disheartened when it doesn't work out, because it's not up to me for it to work out. And I think sometimes we get this... It's like an ego trip that it's all up to us in our lives. Like, my life is all about me, and so I need to fix it. But God's like saying, just come to me and I'll give you rest. Like, come to me and I'll take that burden and you'll soar, and I'll give you the promise and the harvest if you just don't give up and if you just come to me. And the Bible is full of that, but sometimes we just kind of ignore it for some reason. And I'm not trying to say that we just need to sit back on our lounge and kind of let our life play out and watch God do everything, because that's not how he works. He expects you to do stuff. He expects you to give your all the time. But it's giving it to him. It's not doing it in your own strength. It's just saying, God, here's every single thing that I have, and I know that my strength is weaker than your weakness, but here it is anyway. You do something with it, amen? And that's, we don't have to do it alone, yeah? God is actually on our side, and he actually wants us to succeed. He sets a call down that's way too big, not because he wants to see us fail, but because he wants to be in relationship with us, because he wants us to trust him. He wants to expand us and make us bigger, make us stronger, amen? So, I'm just going to finish up. We don't have to get weary. And I think sometimes, like, we grow weariness. I'm struggling to whether or not to use this point, because I only found it in the New King James Version of the translation. But it says in Galatians 6, in the thing, it says, don't grow weary. And that phrase struck me, because I think sometimes we cultivate weariness. Do you know what I mean? Like, we will deliberately grow weariness. And God's like, don't do it to yourself. Don't make it harder than it is or it has to be. Like, just trust me. Just give it to me. Just understand that it's not a It's not a 1 week thing or a 1 month thing, but it's a lifetime thing. It's a race that has stages and seasons, and that I'm on your side and I want you to win, amen. And that's what God says. And He says, don't deliberately get yourself tired and worn out. There's no point. Amen. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much that you not only save us and give us your incredible grace, but God, you want us to succeed in this life as well. And God, you want us to achieve everything that you've set out for us to achieve. And God, you put big calls in our lives, not to see us fail, but to see us grow and to see us trust you and be in that close, intimate relationship with you. And so God, I pray that you will just encourage our hearts, God, that if there are people here tonight who are just feeling really tired, that you would just stir up their spirit, God, that you would give them rest. And God, that we would learn to seek you, that we would learn to move where you are and stay in your presence, God, and in that you can be our strength. Thank you, Lord. We were at Carmel High on Friday. I was doing SRE there, and we showed this video, and about halfway through the video, it goes completely black and completely silent. And it stays like that. And then words slowly come up on the screen. And I was amazed by how many young people struggled in that silence. And I think the thing that struck me is because when I'm feeling like wrecked or a mess or tired, then I love that silence. That time where you can go somewhere away from people and just sit and listen to God. But for so many people, it's really hard because when you're silent, then you've got to think about things, or God starts to stir up your heart and starts to move on you, and so you want to distract it with noise again. And I just encourage if you're feeling tired or if you're worn out, then just seek out that solitude and that silence and that time with God where you let Him speak to you. Not where you just speak to Him and tell Him what you want, but where you let God speak to you. Amen. Now I just want to pray with people just quickly. If you're feeling worn out or tired or like it's you just kind of want to quit or anything, I don't know what the situation or the circumstance is. It doesn't really matter. It could be something little or something huge. I don't know. But maybe that's you and that's what you're feeling. I just want to pray with you tonight. So maybe you just stick your hand out with me if that's how you feel. You're just kind of like, God, I'm actually thinking about just walking away from church because it just seems too hard. I don't know if that's anybody. Maybe it's not. God, I just thank you for these people with their hands raised and for everybody that just feels tired. God, that you would speak to us. That you would renew our strength and God, that we would put our hope in you. Lord, that we wouldn't try and shoulder the burden of your calling in our own effort, but that we would trust you and that we would give it to you and we would see you move in our lives. And so, God, I just pray for all of those people that you would just touch their hearts in a powerful way tonight, God. That you would just encourage them and build them up, God. That your word would just be fresh in their heart and that you will have spoken things and that you will confirm that in their lives, God. And God, that you will do incredible things in them and through them. And God, we know your promise and we know your call and we don't want to stop short of that and we don't want to give up. We don't want to miss out on what you've got for our lives. And so God, I pray that you would just fill us with your spirit and just encourage us, Lord, and that we would learn to trust you more and more and understand that you are on our side, God. Amen. Awesome. Sweet. Where's the gorilla?